Today on The King is Coming.
David is basically saying, you bring these physical instruments, I bring the power of heaven to this battle. David is saying, you brought a knife to a gunfight, my friend, and you're about to go down. David and Goliath, the story we all know, but do you really know it? We're going to find out next on The King is Coming.
In a world filled with uncertainty and fear, what kind of faith empowers us to stand strong? What kind of courage leads us to face the impossible with confidence? Imagine the faith of a leader guiding hundreds of thousands into an unknown land, or the unyielding trust that walks into a fiery furnace without fear. Picture the boldness of a man building an ark amidst ridicule and scorn, trusting wholly in God's promise. Join Jeff Kinley as he journeys through the lives of these extraordinary Old Testament heroes in our series, Courageous Faith, Living Boldly and Confidently in Fearful Times. Discover how their unwavering faith can inspire and transform our lives even today. To get your copy of this inspiring 8-part DVD set, call the number on your screen or go to thekingiscoming.com now. Are you ready to dive into one of the most powerful and timely topics of our time? Introducing the brand new 8-week video series from The King is Coming, all about the rapture. Hosted by Jeff Kinley, this series will unpack why the rapture of the church is under fierce attack today, what it means for our lives, how it fits into Christian tradition, and when it might happen. Don't miss out on this eye-opening journey. Whether you're curious, concerned, or just eager to grow in your faith, this series is for you. Get ready to be encouraged and informed as we dive deep into the hope and the truth of the rapture. Now available exclusively from The King is Coming for your gift of $50 or more. Let's uncover the truth together. Call now or visit thekingiscoming.com to get your copy today.
We're in this series called Courageous Faith, where we're sort of walking through the Old Testament and basically eavesdropping on some stories here that give us an idea of what life was like back then. And we're highlighting some characters in the Old Testament and specifically some events or episodes of their life that really stand out and illustrate courageous faith. And today we're talking about David, not David the king, but David the boy. All the way back here, to 1 Samuel. And over in 1 Samuel, we're looking at this story of David and Goliath. Now, this is a story that, of course, we all know. We've seen many times, and it's a story we tell children, and it's a great story of overcoming big things in your life and that type of thing. But there really is a deeper understanding of this story that I think the Bible tells us here as we look at it. Now, to set the context here, this scene takes place during a time when Israel has their first king. Now, God has said to Israel, I want to be your king. And Israel kept saying, no, all the other nations have a king. We want a king as well. God said, you're not going to like him, but I'll give him to you anyway. And so he gave him King Saul. And King Saul was a man who essentially had no heart for God. Saul had no heart for God. David had a whole heart for God. And then his son Solomon had sort of a half heart for God. And then it was just hit and miss when you got into the other kings of Judah and Israel. But when you come to Saul, Saul was a man who was a very volatile man. He was not a man in whom the Lord dwelt continually. The Lord would remove his spirit from him because Saul would disobey God. But they found themselves battling their arch enemies, the Philistines. And the Philistines were a tribe of warriors. They were a very godless, demonic type of tribe. And they gathered together at this place called the Valley of Elah. And at the Valley of Elah, all of the soldiers of Israel had gathered, and then the armies of the Philistines had gathered, but they had someone they called a champion, someone who was sort of their MVP, somebody who led the pack. He was the quarterback of their tribe there. And his name was Goliath. And we pick up the story in 1 Samuel 17, in verse 4. It says this. It says, then a champion came out, and it says, from the armies of the Philistines, named Goliath. And he was from Gath, it says. It says, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Now, we can do the math on this thing very easily to discover that Goliath was 9 feet, 9 inches tall, just shy of a basketball goal, okay? That's where the top of his head was. That's flat-footed, okay? So Goliath was 9 feet, 9 inches tall. He was a giant. You know, we have people that are playing in the NBA today that are over 7 feet tall, maybe 7'4". I think the tallest is maybe 7'6", maybe 7'7". But listen, no one's ever been 9 feet, 9 inches tall in the NBA. If he did, then there wouldn't be a contest anymore. It'd be a difficult a challenge for any team to play against him. But it says he was 9 feet, 9 inches tall. But he wasn't just this beanpole, this tall string bean of a guy. He was huge. He was massive. He was thick. And we know this because of the weight of the armor and the spear that he carried. It says here in verse 15, he had a bronze helmet on his head. That certainly weighed something. He had a huge head, I'm sure. It says he was clothed with scale armor, which weighed 5,000 shekels of bronze. That's 125 pounds of this armor. It says he had bronze greaves on his legs and a bronze javelin slung between his shoulders. And the shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and the head of his spear weighed 600 shekels of iron. And he had a shield carrier that walked before him. So this spear weighed about 33 pounds. So you got 125 pounds of armor plus all the other stuff, plus a spear that weighs 33 pounds. I mean, think about that. The shot put in the Olympics is only, I think, 8 pounds or 12 pounds. But this particular spear was 33 pounds. And so Goliath comes up, and there's a valley there, and he's shouting across the valley. The sound is carried across the valley. And he's shouting to the ranks of Israel. And it's very interesting. He says in verse 8, why do you come out to draw up in battle array? Am I not the Philistine and you servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him enter into battle. And this was the wager. He says, I'll fight any one man that you have. And whoever wins, winner take all. Whoever wins, the other one has to be the slave of the victor. So if Goliath wins, Israel would have to be in subjugation and slavery to the Philistines. And if the Israeli won, then the Philistines would have to be slaves to the Israelites. And so everything is at stake here. It's a winner-take-all type of challenge. He says in verse 10, I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man that we may fight together. So a Goliath is coming. He's issuing this challenge. Now, you would think that one person, just one guy out of tens of thousands would say, oh, I'll at least try. But look what it says in verse 11. It says, when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, it says they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Greatly afraid. They were filled with terror. They were filled with fear. They were filled with dread. And then all of a sudden the scene ends and we switch back to a more peaceful scene, a little shepherd boy. It tells us in verse 12 that David was the son of a man by the name of Jesse. And Jesse had 8 sons and David was the youngest. But it tells us that David's 3 brothers were in the Israeli army. They were in the IDF of that day, if you will. It says their names were Eliab and Abinadab and Shammah. And it says that David went back and forth from Saul to go back and tend his father's flocks back at Bethlehem. So he's a little shepherd boy. We don't know how old David was at this time. Perhaps he was 12 years old. And so David is tending sheep, but he's going back and peeking through the legs of the warriors and maybe seeing what's going on out there on the battlefield. He's also running errands for his dad as well, bringing food to his brothers. It says in verse 16, and the Philistine came forward morning and evening. So every morning, Goliath would come forth. He would issue the challenge. He would defy the ranks of Israel. Every evening, before dusk, he would come back and do the same thing. And the Bible says here in verse 16 that he did this for 40 days straight. 40 days. and not a single warrior is stepping forward. Not a single person has faith enough to believe in God, that God could come and give them victory over this this Philistine defiant man. So here's David with an idea. You'll find out what that idea is when we return. Hi, this is Jeff Kinley with The King Is Coming. You know, each week we bring to you dedicated programming from the Word of God to equip you in how to live for Jesus Christ in this perilous times that we're living in. If this ministry has meant something to you, would you consider a generous gift to this ministry? Just go to the address on the bottom of the screen and give towards The King Is Coming. God bless you. So David is being sent to the front lines to bring sandwiches, if you will, to his brothers, give them a little bit of a nourishment there for the battle that they're not fighting right now, right? And so David comes to the battle lines. And what's really interesting, you see in verse 22, a very interesting way that Samuel writes this. He says this in verse 22, "Then David left his baggage in care of the baggage keeper," and it says, "he ran to the battle line and entered in order to greet his brothers." David was a young man, as young boys often are, who was eager. He wanted to see what was happening. He wanted to know what was going on. And so it says he ran up to the battle lines. And it says in verse 23, "as he was talking with them, behold, a champion, the Philistine from Gath named Goliath, was coming up from the army of the Philistines, saying the same words that he'd been saying for 40 days and 40 nights. And it says, and David heard these words. And once again, look what it says in verse 24, "when men of Israel saw the man, Goliath, they fled from him and were greatly afraid." This is twice we've been told that they were filled with fear and that they were greatly afraid. But notice what it says here. It says they fled from him. We just saw just a moment ago, verse 22, David ran towards the battle, but the Israelites are running from the battle. So there's a great contrast here between the eagerness of David and the seasoned warriors that are fleeing from the battle. And so David then the men of Israel says to David, says, "Have you seen this man who's coming up? Surely he's coming to defy Israel." And then it goes on to say that whoever defeats this man, he says, "the king will give him great riches and will give him his daughter and will make his father's house free in Israel." And so David came and spoke up and he said, "Hey, tell me again, what's the reward purse for this thing?" And it says, "what will be done for this? And who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel?" And of course they tell him, but here's what I want you to see in verse 26. David says something that nobody else is saying. David has insight as a young boy, perhaps again, maybe 12 years old, as a young shepherd boy, that no warrior, no priest, no king certainly, is saying in this moment. Look what he says in verse 26. He says, "for who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt the armies of the living God?" David says, who does this guy think he is that he can stand and say these things to an army that is representing the living God? You see, David knew something about God that motivated him to be courageous. David believed in the name of God. David wanted to honor God's name and wanted to make God's name great. He wanted the whole earth to know about his God. And so David says, "are you guys not standing up to this guy? He's defying our God." And yet everyone was silent. And so David wanted to, his main concern was God's honor. Now think about this for just a second. Satan loves to defy God. In fact, that's what he's doing right now all across the world. The Bible says that Satan is the god of this world in 2 Corinthians 4:4. Ephesians 2, verses 1 and 2, it says he's the prince of the power of the air. Jesus in John 12 called Satan, in fact, twice he calls him the ruler of this world. And what Satan is doing through the world system right now is he's trying to defy God. And God wants his children to stand up and say, "wait a minute, it bothers me that the world is defying God. It bothers me that my school is defying God, that my country is defying God. I want to fight for the honor of my God. And so David, in this context, means something for you. It'll obviously mean something else. But Satan will always want to strike fear into you. He'll always want to put some sort of influence in our lives that seems like a 9-foot-9 figure that we can't overcome, that most other believers, most other Christians are fleeing from. What are Christians afraid of today? They're afraid of being canceled and cancel culture. They're afraid of losing their jobs. They're afraid of speaking up and being labeled a hater or a Nazi or something like that. Listen, David wasn't afraid. He said, I don't know who this guy think he is, but he's talking about my God here. And so David says, I'm going to do something about it. Now, when his oldest brother, Eliab, heard about it, he basically says to Davis, why have you come here? What do you think you're doing? You're just a kid. Go back and tend your sheep. And so he was ridiculed by his own brothers. But David says, look, I was just asking a question, he says in verse 29. And then he went on to other warriors. He says to other people, and they gave him the same answer. But notice what David did. David didn't take his older brother's advice. You know why? Because there was a higher authority than his older brother. There was a higher influence than all the warriors of Israel. And David essentially was saying, it doesn't matter to me what your opinion is. It only matters to me what God's name, how God's name is being represented in this world. And so David was not afraid, and he didn't listen to the naysayers. So he's got the Israeli army that's afraid, that's running away. He's got his own brothers tell him, go home, little brother. You don't belong here. Leave your sandwiches and go back to babysitting your sheep. But then the scene changes again. We go to the king. And now King Saul weighs in on this thing. It says, David goes to Saul and he says, let no man's heart fail on account of him. That's Goliath. He says, your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. David is essentially saying, I can do this. Now, you can write this off as youthful enthusiasm. You can say, you know, all little boys are like this. Just let me at him. I can take this guy. But as we'll see in a moment, he can back up his words with real action. Now, Saul, when he sees young David there, Saul didn't say, hey, you know what? I recognize in you, you have great potential. He didn't say that at all. Notice what he says in verse 33. He says, Saul said to David, you are not able. You can't do it. David says, I can do it. And Saul says, no, you can't do it. He says, are you able to go against this Philistine and fight with him? You are but a youth, but he's been a warrior from his youth. So now we have another detractor, another discourager in David's life telling him, you can't do it. And, you know, sometimes when people tell you you can't do things, that's all some people need. That's, oh, I guess I'm not supposed to do it. I've got all these people that are against me. I've got older people telling me I can't do it. I've got people in authority telling me I can't do it. I guess I'm not supposed to do it. But guess what? David's got, again, a higher calling. And that only added fuel to his already burning fire. So Saul says, you can't do it. You're too young. But David doesn't walk out at that point. David doesn't say, well, I guess you're right. I guess I'm too young. David appeals to the king, and what he says to the king is very interesting and tells us something about his courageous faith. That's next when we come back. Here at The King Is Coming, we are dependent upon the monthly donations to provide these programs to you every week. If this ministry has meant something to you, would you consider becoming a monthly partner with The King Is Coming to enable us to continue to bring this ministry to you and to the world? God bless you. So Saul tells David, you're too young, you can't do it. But listen to what David says. He says, your servant, once when I was tending my father's sheep, when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I went out after him. I ran after the lion and the bear and attacked him and rescued it from his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I seized him by his beard and struck him and killed him. And David says, look, your servant has killed the lion and the bear. He says, this Philistine will be like one of them. He's going to be like the lion or the bear. You know what David's saying? He's saying, I've seen God's faithfulness in my life. I have seen God work on my behalf as I stepped out in courageous faith to do something that I greatly feared, i.e. kill a lion or a bear, right? God showed up and he enabled me to overcome my fear, the obstacle, what was threatening me, and the situation. I was victorious, David says. And I incrementally kind of worked my way up from a lion and a bear to this giant. And now I'm going to go off. I'm going to slay that giant. So David didn't listen to Saul, but he rehearsed God's past faithfulness in his life. And, you know, sometimes we need to do the same thing. We need to look back and see how the Lord has saved us, how he has brought us to the point where we are today, how we've taken steps along the way to get to where we are, to have the spiritual faith muscles that we have today. How has God shown himself to be strong in your life? Listen, use that as fuel to go to the next challenge, the higher obstacle, the greater fear that you may face in your life. And David certainly did that. And then he concludes by saying this. He says, I'm going to kill this guy because he has taunted the armies of the living God. It's no longer my sheep at stake out on the pasture. It's God's sheep, Israel, that's at stake. I'm going to be God's shepherd now, and I'm going to go out and kill this this bear of a man that's standing out there. And so David had faith. And then he says in verse 37, and David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And so he has not only faith in what God did in the past, he's got faith in what God's going to do in the future. So David's courageous faith enables him to look to the future and say, I'm going to win this thing. I'm not going to be defeated because God's going to be with me. And friend, we need to have that kind of spirit, that kind of attitude in our lives, and to trust only in the Lord to do it. Because the next thing that happens is Saul tries to give him his armor, and his armor's too big and too clunky, and he can't wear it. He says, look, I got this covered. I got a sling. I got my slingshot. And basically the sling in those days was long pieces of leather with a little pouch at the end where they would sling around their heads. Like they wouldn't like a slingshot with a rubber band. They would sling it around their head. And we know from other passages of Scripture that there were places in Scripture where the men of Israel could knock a hair off someone's head with a slingshot. That's how, or with a sling, that's how accurate these men could be. And so David cast off the armor. He took his stick in his hand, and he chose five smooth stones from the brook. And it says in verse 40, he approached the Philistine. Now, once again, we got David running into the battle. He's not running away. He's running towards the danger. It says, then the Philistine approached David. So now he's got Goliath coming towards him, and it's about to get real, folks, in this battle here. And he says in verse 42, when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him. He despised him. He degraded him. It says, for he was but a youth and ruddy with a handsome appearance. Ruddy means he had sort of a red complexion. Maybe David had red hair or reddish hair, but that's what that word means there. And the Philistine said, am I a dog that you should come to me with sticks? And then the Philistine cursed David by his gods, his demon gods. He insulted David by his own gods there with cursings and threats there. And suddenly now David finds himself with, you got to do it now, David. It's now or never. And so David responds to the Philistine. He didn't immediately go to battle, but look what he says. He says, and David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin. But he says, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. He says, I don't trust in my weaponry. I'm trusting in the Lord, my God. David is basically saying, you bring these physical instruments. I bring the power of heaven to this battle. David is saying, you brought a knife to a gunfight, my friend, and you're about to go down. And so he says in verse 46, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hands. And he says this, I will strike you down. I will remove your head from your body. And he says, and I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth because you've done this. Now, David, that's a pretty bold claim for a little bitty pipsqueak of a boy. He's 12 years old who hardly came up to Goliath's kneecaps, right? And yet David has this courageous faith in his God. Now, why does he do this? What is David's motivation in doing this? Well, it tells us there in verse 46. He says that all the earth may know there is a God in Israel. David didn't care if he became famous. David didn't care who talked about him. He wanted the whole world to tell this story about their great God that they have in heaven. And then his second objective, he said, and that all this assembly of Israeli soldiers and all of Israel may know that the Lord doesn't deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. Well, you know what happened next. The Bible tells us in verse 46, once again, David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet the Philistine. He's eager to fight. It says he took his hand into the bag. He put a rock in his sling and he slung it. And the Bible says in verse 49, the stone sank into the forehead of Goliath so that he fell on his face. He face planted into the rocky soil there. It was a giant face plant, literally a giant face plant. This victory was that David had a direct hit right in the bullseye, right in the middle of his face. And it says, and thus David prevailed over the Philistine. He runs up to him. He finishes him off. He kills him, it says. And he says, but David didn't have a sword, so he took Goliath's sword and cut off his head. And the victory was his. And the end result was that the Philistines now fled. Who's running now? And so Goliath was killed. David inspired not only his people to fight, because they routed the Philistines from that point on and won the battle. He became an inspiring example. So listen, friends, that tells us that courageous faith begins with our own view of God. We got to know who God is. We got to trust God with the little things along the way so that we can trust him with big things. And sometimes what once seemed impossible seems possible when you continue to grow in your faith. So my encouragement to you is have courageous faith in God and listen, run towards the battle. Do that and the victory is yours in Christ. God bless. I'll see you next time.
As we look at the perilous times we're living in, are you prepared to be the disciple God has called you to be? With every passing day, we draw closer to the fulfillment of God's plan. The world is changing fast, but our call as followers of Christ remains the same. Be bold, stand firm, and remain unwavering in our faith. The King is Coming is privileged to offer 7 marks of a last day's disciple, a transformative 7-part series that will open your eyes to what it means to be a true disciple in these final days. In 2 Timothy 3, 1-5, Paul warns there will be terrible times in these last days. People will be lovers of themselves, unholy, without love. But within these challenges lies our call to stand apart, equipped with faith and character that holds strong. Don't miss this essential resource. For any gift of $45 or more today, request your copy of 7 Marks of a Last Days Disciple. Call the number on your screen or visit thekingiscoming.com today. Strengthen your faith and prepare yourself to become a Last Days Disciple.